بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يهاجر في سبيل الله يجد في الأرض مراغما كثيرا وسعة صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, our mothers and sisters listening at home of the receiver, we mentioned last week, Alhamdulillah, we have entered a new year and the month of Muharram, which is indeed another very auspicious, sacred month. And especially the 9th and the 10th, or the 10th and the 11th. The 10th of Muharram is the day of Ashura. Ashura, from the word Ashara, which means 10th. So the 10th day of Muharram is extremely important. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he exhorted the ummah to fast on the day of Ashura. But prior to his demise, he discovered that the Yahud were also fasting on that particular day at that time in Madinah Munawwara. And when he inquired from them that why were they fasting on that particular day, they said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had saved Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam from Fir'aun on that day, so they were commemorating that day and therefore they were fasting. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said that we are more closer to Musa alayhi salatu salam than you are. And to oppose the Yahud, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala that if I am living the following year, then I will fast on the 9th as well. لَأَصُومَنَّ التَّاسِعَ. And therefore, this fast of Muharram, we will keep two fasts. Either you can keep on the 9th and the 10th, or the 10th and the 11th. So the 10th actually is on Sunday. So we can keep on Saturday, this Saturday, and Sunday, or Sunday and Monday. Straightforward, simple thing. Unfortunately, many times we just get confused for no reason. So this is a Mubarak month. In fact, in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned as Shahrullah, the month of Allah Rabbul Izzah. You can keep fast during the entire month or many days of this month. But at least if we keep fast on the Ashura day, these 2 days as I mentioned, 9th and 10th or 10th and 11th. So keeping fast on the day of Ashura, it removes all the minor sins, it wipes out all the minor sins of the past year, the year that we just went by. All the minor sins of that year is forgiven. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these Mubarak days. We should try our level best to keep roza on these days. In time of Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, before Ramadan, this Ashura fast was compulsory. In fact, you find the riwayat that they would even encourage the little one, the children also, to give fast on the day of Ashura. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to make amal. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were great events that took place. Many, many events. But one particular event was the event of the Hijrah. And the Hijrah was because the Muslims were being persecuted in Makkah. 13 years they lived in Makkah, they were persecuted, they went to great misery, persecution, they were tortured. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, imagine in sajda, and the entrails of the camel is placed on his Mubarak, blessed back. We know the incident of Taif, and we know how Abu Lahab and his wife tormented Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would place thorns in his path. Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, on various occasions they would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One particular day they came, Ala tastansiru lana, Ala tat'u lana, why don't you ask Allah to give us victory now? Why don't you make dua to Allah? And Rasulullah would console them until the time came when Allah commanded Rasulullah sallallahu to tell the Sahaba now to make hijrat from Makkah to Medina. Nabi Kareem sallallahu saw in a dream prior to that he was going now making hijrat to a place full of date palms. At that moment, he did not realize that it will be Madinah Tayyibah. So we find in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, Hazrat Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala, he was sent as a governor by Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and Amir al-Mu'mineen would send him letters instructing him with various tasks. But those days there was no date on those letters. And so an instruction would come, and sometimes an instruction contrary to that or cancelling that. So he did not know which one was the one that he should practice upon. And therefore he wrote to Umar radiallahu ta'ala that it would be nice if you now implement some date. So when we see the dates on the letter, we'll know which one came first and which one now is abrogated, whatever it may be. Umar radiallahu ta'ala summoned the Sahaba. It's a very important point. And let us see which event we can now make it the beginning of our Islamic calendar. And various opinions were given, and finally it was decided that the Hijrah. And ulama and the mu'arrikhin have written, why the Hijrah? Because this Hijrah, the migration from Makkah to Medina, it marked a distinction between haqq and batil, between truth and falsehood. Remember, this was now a test of iman and kufr. And the Sahaba were steadfast, despite the fact they were persecuted in Makkah. But they were steadfast on iman indeed. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala is dragged in the hot stands of Makkah, and he still says, Ahad dawan Allah, Ahad dawan Allah. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them to now make the hijrat. And so Rasulullah instructs the Sahaba that you can now go to Madinah Munawwara, and this happened in the month of Muharram. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself made hijrat only in Rabi'ul Awwal. So the Sahaba left secretly. And amongst them, the very first Sahabi to make the hijrat was the Sahabi by the name of Abu Salamah radiallahu ta'ala. It was his desire, and this we see in the life of Sahaba. It was not an easy task to leave your hometown, the place of your origin where you were born, the lands of Makkah which you liked so much, you grew up in that place. Now you must leave every single belonging you have. Sahaba had to actually leave their family members. They had to leave behind their homes, their possessions, their treasures, their monies, their valuables, everything, and go without a single penny. It wasn't an easy task. The whole incident of Hijrah shows us sacrifice and sacrifice and sacrifice for the sake of Iman and Aqeedah, for the sake of Allah, to sacrifice for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, Rasulullah himself, when he made the Hijrah, imagine coming onto the outskirts of Makkah, facing Makkah, shedding those tears, "Oh Makkah, verily I love you. Had it not been for your people, I would not have left you." To leave your own hometown is no ordinary matter. But Abu Salama radiallahu anhu sees the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He places that in front of him. He takes his wife, Ummu Salama radiallahu ta'ala. They've got a little child, Abdullah. They are now deciding that we must be the first people to execute this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These were the Sahaba, waiting to bring about this, or to implement the teachings of Sharia first. So as they are now proceeding, suddenly her family members come, and they were disbelievers, and they say, "Listen here, we are not going to let our daughter go like this." And they pull her on one side. And so his family come, they were also disbelievers, and they pull the child, and they say, "This is our grandchild." And both the parties, even though they were disbelievers, there was a tussle, both pulling the child on either side. Any case, Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala has the choice. Either he remains behind with his wife and child, or he proceeds on this migration, this hijrat. And this is the iman, the caliber of Sahaba. He looked at his wife. She is taken away by her family. His child by his family. He says, "No, I will still go, I will proceed, I will make the hijrah." And he continues, and he is the first person to make the hijrah. For an entire year, he separated from his wife and from his child. 1 year. It is said that Ummu Salama radiallahu ta'ala would go every day onto the same spot where her husband had departed perhaps he may return, perhaps he may return. After some time somebody felt pity upon her, they return her child to her, and they allow her to make the hijrah, and she is going all alone, a woman all alone, doesn't even know where she's going to head towards. When Uthman bin Talha, at that moment he was not a believer, he was not a sahabi, and he felt sorry, he sees this woman, where are you going? You cannot go all alone. And he escorts her. He was a disbeliever, but she says, I never saw a more modest person and a respectful person than Uthman bin Talha. That he went forward, he never looked at me with an evil glance at all. And as we came towards Madinah Munawwara from a distance, he pointed out that your husband is in this place and you may proceed now. The same Uthman bin Talha later on accept Islam, and he was given the key of the Kaaba. Ummu Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha joined with the husband and the child. Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala later on passes away in the fourth year of the hijrah. 4 years after the hijrah, he passes away. Very great sahabi. Nabi Kareem performs his janaza salah. Janaza salah, we read 4 takbirs we have. On that particular occasion, Rasulullah read 9 takbirs. After the janaza, sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, you made a mistake or you forgot? He said, I made no mistake, I didn't forget. The caliber of sahabi of Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala was such that even if I had to make 1,000 takbirs for his janaza, he was deserving of it. Ummu Salama radiallahu ta'ala loses her husband. She has nobody now. Allah destined that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must propose for her. It's a lengthy incident. She is made to read the dua after the demise of her husband. Wallah, Allahumma ajurni fi musibati wa khlufli khayran minhu. And she should think, who can be better than my husband? Who will take the place of my husband? Not knowing that Allah destined Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to marry Ummu Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha. She becomes the mother of the believers then. So this hijrat, sahaba made great sacrifices. Suhaib al-Rumi radiallahu ta'ala was a non-Arab, came from Rome. And he lived in Makkah Mukarrama. And now he is now proceeding for hijrah. When the enemy see him, and they shout at him, towards him, Oh Suhaib, ataytana sa'aluk, and you came to us as a pauper. فَكَثُرَ مَالُكَ عِنْدَنَا You became wealthy by us. We're not going to let you go. Just go like this. Suhaib al-Rumi radiallahu anhu was a master archer. He says, I've got my bow, I've got my arrows. You know how good I can shoot. If you want, I will start shooting towards you. And in the end, if you kill me, well and good. Or if you want, I can give you the treasures I have in Makkah. And let me go. They agree. He goes back to Makkah. He gives them the possessions he has, the belongings he has, everything, he gives it to them. When he proceeds to Medina, he reaches Medina later on, after some time, in Rabiul Awwal, when Rasulullah arrives there and he sees Suhaib, he says, Rabiha bay'uk, Oh Suhaib, you have done a very profitable transaction. That you gave away your belongings for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you made this hijrat. Like that Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu ta'ala and his family, they proceed. The moment they leave Makkah, they had houses in Makkah. Abu Sufyan, who was a disbeliever at that time, he usurps all the homes. When Rasulullah meets Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu ta'ala and he's sad, Nabi Sam tells him, no. Ama tarda, aren't you happy that Allah has given you a dar in Jannah, a house in Jannah, in lieu of the house that was usurped in Makkah? So like this, sahaba made great sacrifices. Dhamira radiallahu ta'ala, Dhamira ibn Is radiallahu ta'ala, a wealthy sahabi, but he was blind. He was not well. And he says, no, I want to make this hijrat. Carry me. And they're carrying him. They just reached Tan'im, Masjid Aisha. Tan'im. There was no masjid at that time. But now we have Masjid Aisha. We make the umrah from there. So at Tan'im, he passes away. And Allah talks about in the Quran, وَمَنْ يُهَاجِرْ وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِمْ مُهَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ يُدْرِكُهُ الْمَوْتِ فَقَدْ وَقَى أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ The one who has come out, he has migrated, he has left his home for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and maut afflicts him whilst he's still in the process of hijrat, then his reward is fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Durrah, daughter of Abu Lahab, radiallahu ta'ala, she had embraced Islam. She's among the first people to make the hijrat. And she makes the hijrat. When she reaches Medina, some of the women of Medina started addressing her, "O daughter of the enemy of Allah." It pained her. She came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, see what they are saying. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam became upset. He ascended the minbar, called the Sahaba, he delivers a khutbah in which he says that how is it that some of you are giving me taklif regarding my own family people? She was from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala made hijrat. Sayyid Rumi, Abdullah bin Jahash, Amir bin Rabi'ah and his wife Layla radiallahu ta'ala was among the first to make this hijrat. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he came, he did it openly. He was not afraid of any person. With another 20 of them. His brother Zayd radiallahu ta'ala also accompanied him. And Umar used to say that my brother Zayd sabaqani ila al-husnayin. My brother beat me in two things. He accepted Islam before me and he became shaheed before me. As though Umar radiallahu ta'ala had this conviction, he'll also become shaheed afterwards. And as they went, Umar radiallahu addressed the mushrikeen that come. Anybody wants to fight me, they are I'm prepared to fight them. Nobody touched Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and he proceeded. But there were some who were to be left behind. They had to be left behind. Ali radiallahu ta'ala was left behind until Rasulullah made the hijrat. And why did Rasulullah leave him behind? And this is the point that for all of us to understand, that they were amanat, wada'i', wadi'ah. People had kept as trust by Rasulullah SAW some of their monies, their belongings. He was al-Amin al-Sadiq, even though many of the mushrikeen did not accept him, but they knew he was a trustworthy man. Somebody is going on some journey, they leave their monies by him too, by Rasulullah SAW to keep and safeguard as an amanat. He had some of those belongings. He could have taken those belongings with him, or he could have just left it as it was. But Rasulullah SAW was al-Sadiq al-Amin. And this is trustworthiness that you and I should have in our lives. People leave things in our care. We should take care of those things. Not misappropriate those funds. Not make khiyanat of that amanat. And he keeps Ali radiallahu anhu, "Oh Ali, I want you to give each person his rightful due." So when Rasulullah SAW left, he had gone to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu, who was waiting all the time, seeking permission. Ya Rasul, can I make the hijrat? Can I go? Can I proceed? Abu Bakr said, "No, not yet, not yet." Why? Because Allah had commanded Rasulullah SAW that Abu Bakr is going to be your companion, your comrade, your partner, your traveling partner on this journey, this momentous journey. It was midday. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was a young girl at that time. She sees Rasulullah SAW came at such a time which he would normally not come. Midday. It is hot. And Rasulullah tells my father Abu Bakr that Allah has commanded me to take you along. And you are going to be my companion. She said, "I never saw in my life any person crying out of joy and happiness like I saw my father crying that day." Two camels he had prepared already. Ya Rasulullah, there's the camels ready. Nabi said, "No, I will pay for my camel." Abu Bakr is insisting. Nabi says, "No. This is an important journey and I would pay for my own camel." He paid 800 dirhams. This is a lesson for us also. When we are traveling in the path of Allah, pay with our own money. Use our own money and we will get sawab for it. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam puts Sayyidina Ali radhiyallahu anhu in his place, gives him a green shawl and tells him, "Do not fear. Nothing will happen to you." And Rasul leaves at night. In the meantime, in Darun Nadwa, the mushrikeen, the leaders had gathered. And Iblis, Shaitan, comes in the disguise of an old man. He joins that meeting in which they are discussing what they're going to do to نبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم. وإذ يمكر بك الذين كفروا ليثبتوك أو يقتلوك أو يخرجوك ويمكرون ويمكر الله والله خير الماكرين. Allah discusses, some said incarcerate him, some say no, why wouldn't you just kill him? When they said kill him, assassinate him, Iblis in the form of the old man said, this is a brilliant idea, this is what you should do. So they take leaders of each tribe and they surround the house and they say, when he will come out, we will all kill him together. So no single person will be pointed towards, and he won't be blamed, and his clan won't be blamed, and everybody will be part of it. Allah's plan is such. Wallahu khairul maakirin, he's the best of planners. Always remember, in dunya there will be people plotting against us, but Allah is the best of planners. Rasul comes out, he reads the verse, وَجَعَلْنَا مِن بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدَّا وَمِن خَلْفِهِمْ سَدَّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. Allah says, we blinded them, they could not see. He even takes some dust and he puts on their head and he passes through. These mushrikeen whom Allah made them sound asleep, they were blinded, they did not even sense Rasul coming past. After some time somebody sees them, what are you waiting for? He said, no, Muhammad, we've been waiting for him, we're going to kill him. He said, I've seen him traveling already. And they didn't believe the person. In the morning, they open the house, they barge inside, and they see Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu in the place of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now there is a search, a warrant of arrest for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 100 camels for the person who finds him. And you know Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, they take refuge in the cave of Thawr. And before they enter, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he cleans the cave. And as they are sitting, he realizes there are holes. There are holes in the wall of the cave. And he tears a piece of his garment and he stuffs those holes with some material. But there are two holes which he is unable to find any material to stuff into. So he places his feet on those holes, blocking that hole, in case some insect comes out from there, it will not harm my beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam places his Mubarak head on the lap of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. What a great honor. And as Rasulullah is sleeping, suddenly a scorpion bites the feet of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he bears the pain. It is excruciating. When he is unable to bear the pain, then the tears flow down his eyes and fall onto the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and awakens him, and he sees, Abu Bakr, what has happened? And Abu Bakr tells Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it seemed as though some scorpion has bitten me. And Rasulullah takes his lu'abi mubarak, his saliva mubarak, and he reads for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he places that on the feet of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Immediately he's cured. Allah protects them with a pigeon's nest, a spider's web. Allah does not need a huge, mighty, powerful army to stand guard there. Allah used a pigeon's nest, a spider's web. This is the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the enemy come right at the entrance on the top, they are watching. This is when Abu Bakr Siddiq is now terrified. Ya Rasulullah, if this man just looks beneath his feet, لَأَبْصَرَنَا, he see us, he will spot us. Nabiya Kareem some consoles him. لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. Lesson for me, lesson for you, for all of us. Do not grieve. Verily Allah is with us. And the person goes away. He remained there for 3 days. Sayyidina Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, when there's a warrant of arrest for him, he had refused to give a verdict in favor of the king. It was an Islamic, very long masala, and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was on haqq, he was on the right, and the king was telling him no to write something else, and he refused in the warrant of arrest for him. So he seeks refuge at a place, a friend's home, and it remains there only for 3 days. And they're searching for him. After 3 days, he decides to move from there. His friend tells him, where are you going? They're going to find you. The king will kill you. He says, it is the sunnah of my beloved Rasulullah that he sought refuge in the cave of Thor when there was a warrant of arrest for him only for 3 days. I will follow this sunnah as well. You and I, brothers, we only look at those sunnah which appeases us. Have something sweet to eat, those things which appeals to us, we will follow that sunnah. Imagine this sunnah. That even the time of difficulty, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal Rahmatullahi is following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as he come out, so in between, we find that Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha, she comes and she brings food for them in the cave. She has a girdle, a little belt, which a lady, young girl wears to keep her clothes fastened to her body, a skirt. And she broke that into 2 pieces. One she tied around her waist and the other one to tie the food to bring to her father Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anha and to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then her brother Abdullah, he would come and bring some news and information to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding what the mushrikeen are planning, etc. Then Amir bin Fuhaira, he was the shepherd and he would graze his sheep and he would bring milk for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Abdullah bin Ariqat was not a Muslim, but they took him as a guide. Rasulullah trusted him. He was an honest person to show them the way towards Madinah Munawwara. And as they are proceeding, there are times when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu suddenly goes in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Suddenly he goes behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He goes front, he goes behind Rasulullah, asks him, what's the matter? He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sometimes I think that perhaps the enemy is waiting for you in front. So let me go quickly in front. So if they have to attack, they'll attack me first. Then suddenly I think they are pursuing you and they may come from behind. So I go behind you to defend you and protect you. Some kitabs have mentioned that there was a short period or there was in this journey when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu actually carries Rasulullah on his shoulders also. On the way, suddenly Suraqah bin Malik is a disbeliever at that time. And he's also looking, searching for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he spots them from a distance. This is again, Hazrat Abu Bakr is worried, Ya Rasulullah, now we are caught. Nabi Akram consoles him, looks at Suraqah bin Malik. And as Suraqah is coming closer, suddenly his horse is sinking into the ground. He realizes this. 3 times it happens, he realizes it. No. That he has no chance to attack Rasulullah or to capture Rasulullah. He pleads to Rasulullah to give him a break. He doesn't embrace Islam at that time, but he promises Rasulullah that I would make sure I will not join any party against you, and any person coming in this direction, I will send them off and I will tell them that I've searched this head, I've scanned this area, and there's no person like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam here. You can may proceed, you may go away. But Rasulullah knows that he will accept Islam later. And tell him, Suraqah was a Bedouin, poor man. He says, how will it be one day when you will be given the bangles of Kisra bin Hormuz, the Caesar, the king of Persia? Something unimaginable. Suraqah sees me, Arabi, Bedouin, bangles of the king of Persia? He couldn't believe it. The day came in the time of Umar, radiallahu ta'ala, who was Amir al-Mu'mineen. The bangles of Kisra was brought as Mali Ghanimat, as booty. Umar radiallahu ta'ala remembers the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Call Suraqah. Suraqah, there's these bangles which Rasulullah promised you. He says, praise be to Allah, who took it away from the enemy of Allah, the king of Persia, and gave it to Suraqah bin Malik al-Mudliji, radiallahu ta'ala, a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So any person who came towards, in that direction, Suraqah would just ward them off. And then it's a lengthy incident, and how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then reaches Quba, and the masjid of Quba is built, la masjid al-ussisa ala taqwa. And therefore we are encouraged when we go for Umrah, we should go to masjid of Quba, on a Saturday or a Monday, or any other day, and fulfill and read 2 rakats, namaz there, and we get the sawab of it, accept the umrah. And that masjid was built on taqwa. May Allah make all our masajid, the foundations of our masajid on taqwa. We need to inculcate taqwa in our lives. Make our masjid abad. In our masajid, we must have no disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, coming with our cell phones and watching haram things in the masjid, having ringing tones. Quran, tilawah, zikr, dua, what a beautiful atmosphere. And they had particularly, they were very, very particular about taharat. They were the first people to use water for istinja. And Allah praised them in the Quran. And after 2 weeks, when the masjid is established, then Rasulullah proceeds now towards Madinah Munawwara. He comes to the place of Salim bin Auf, and it was Jumu'ah time, and Rasulullah performs the Jumu'ah, and he delivers a khutbah. And eventually they reach Madinah Munawwara, and the people in Madinah Munawwara were so excited, they were waiting, because Ansar had come prior to the hijrah of Rasulullah on two occasions, and they pledged allegiance, Bay'ah, Al-Aqaba, Al-Ula, and Al-Thaniya. That Ya Rasulullah, you come over to Madinah, and we guarantee you, we promise you, we assure you, we will protect you. We will be your helpers. And that is why they are called the Ansar, the helpers. And the Muhajirin, those who migrated. Those who migrated. And there's an incident where after Hijrat, you find there were a group of Sahaba who had left Makkah because of being persecuted. They went to Abyssinia. Amongst them, Asma bint Umais radiallahu ta'ala anha. She was married to Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala. He passed away later on in Muta. Initially also Usman radiallahu ta'ala and Ruqiyah radiallahu also had gone. So when Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala on the 7th year when he comes to Madinah Munawwara, remember, Sahaba had made Hijrat, Rasulullah made Hijrat, Badr took place, Uhud took place. Now only in the 7th year, at the time of Khaybar, when Khaybar was conquered, Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala comes with Asma bint Umais radiallahu ta'ala and the handful of Sahaba who had gone to Abyssinia. And Rasulullah says, I do not know, I'm so excited today because Khaybar became Fatah, or is because of Qudum of Ja'far, or because Ja'far has come. So Umar radiallahu anhu used to tell Asma bint Umais radiallahu ta'ala anha, he said, you know, we made Hijrat before you. You became much later. She went and complained to Rasulullah. See what Umar is saying. They beat us. They preceded us in Hijrah and we came later on. They get greater reward. Nabi Sam tells her, go and tell Umar that you have got sawab of two Hijrats. They got sawab of one Hijrat, Makkah to Medina. You all got the sawab of making Hijrat first to Abyssinia and then making Hijrat to Medina Munawwara. Hazrat Abu Musa Ashari was also amongst them, or those people who were in that group. They would come and ask her again and again, tell us what Rasulullah told you. We got sawab of two Hijrats. They were so happy that they would get more and more and more reward. They made this hijrah from Makkah to Medina. Yeah, when Makkah was then conquered, the 10th year, after that there was no more hijrat because Makkah became Darul Islam. Medina was Darul Islam, Makkah became Darul Islam. However, Rasulullah consoled those people who then embraced Islam. And he told them, the real muhajir, and this is the lesson for all of us, haqiqi muhajir, who is a genuine muhajir? The one who leaves guna and sin. Al-muhajiru man hajar al-khataya wal-dhunub. Ye zaruri hai ki gunaho ko bhi chhor de. Asal hijrat nahi sirf tarke watan. It's not just leaving your hometown and going to another town and settling there. Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in did this to please Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They did this to protect the iman. And they left gunas and sins. If they made a mistake, they will make tawbah immediately. And therefore Rasulullah is telling us that the real muhajir is not the one who just leaves place A and goes to place B and he settles down there. No, a real muhajir is the one who leaves guna. He abandons sins. And he goes to obedience. He leaves disobedience, ma'asi, zunub, khataya, for the itaat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He leaves impurity for a life of purity. This is what we all need to bring in our lives. Years will go past, months will pass, another Muharram will come. We have to, as they say, previously also I said, there is no way out, but to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give me first, give all of you the tawfiq of pleasing Him and making the real hijrat to leave all sins, major sins, minor sins, and make tawbah istighfar and go towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Increase our iman or strengthen our iman and do good deeds. We make a mistake, tawbah istighfar. Stay in a good mahol, stay in a good environment, and focus and be worried about our youth, our children, our grandchildren, our progeny. As I mentioned last week, we can see so many things happening in the world. Allah alone knows best when Qiyamah will take place, what fitnas have come. Real hijrat now, for us, is to now make sincere tawbah istighfar. I'm doing this guna in my life. I'm doing that. I need to remove this from my life. Now I need to cleanse and purify my heart. Allah Ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq and hidayat. There are so many other more incidents. It's just in brief. In fact, this incident of Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha was such a sad incident. She was married at that time to Abu al-As bin Rabi, who was a mushrik. And that time, such a nikah was permissible. Later on, the laws of nikah came down, that now you can only marry a Muslim, a believer, etc. But at that time, it was permissible. And Abu al-As bin Rabi was looking after Zainab radiallahu ta'ala. She embraced Islam. She was a sahabiya, daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he did not allow her to make hijrat with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah made such battle of Badr, second year took place, and Abu al-As bin Rabi was taken as a captive by the sahaba. And each one had to ransom himself. When it came to the turn of Abu al-As bin Rabi, he needs to free himself. So he sends a message to Zainab, that sent something. Zainab sends a necklace. When Rasulullah sees his necklace, he began to cry profusely. Sahaba see Rasulullah crying that night. They also begin to cry. Ya Rasulullah, what has happened? He says, this is the necklace of my beloved Khadija radiallahu ta'ala. And she gave this necklace to my Zainab when she got married. Oh my Sahaba, if you don't mind, can I give this necklace back to my Zainab? Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, definitely. But he says on one condition, Abu al-As, I want you to send my Zainab now to me in Medina, and we will give you the necklace back. He agrees. And so he sends Zainab, his wife. She's traveling all alone. And when a person by the name of Habbar ibn al-Aswad, he was a mushrik, and he sees Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha going alone, he said, oh, where are you going? We can't allow you to go. And at that moment, what does he do? He takes his dagger and he pierces the camel of Zainab radiallahu ta'ala. It falls down. And when the camel falls down, she falls off the camel. And she aborts her child. She was pregnant. She has a miscarriage. She's injured. And this makes her husband, Abu al-As bin Rabi, very angry. After she is nursed and she feels a bit better, then she is escorted and she is allowed then to go to Madinah Munawwara. Sometime in between, Abu al-As bin Rabi', the husband of Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, he was going on some expedition, some caravan, some trip he had to Syria or somewhere. And as he was coming, he come to Madinah Munawwara. Rasulullah performs namaz, fajr namaz with the sahaba. He makes salam. Suddenly from the back he hears the voice of Zainab. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have given my husband Abu al-As bin Rabi his year, I have given him amnesty, protection. Nabi Sam said, okay. Nabi Sam gives him dawah to Islam. At that moment he still does not accept Islam. He says, no, I need to go to Makkah. He's allowed, he's not captured. He goes to Makkah, he sorts his things out, he comes back and he embraces Islam. He is a son-in-law of Rasulullah. He becomes a Sahabi. And that person, Habbar ibn Aswad, who was responsible for stabbing that camel and causing her to, Zainab radiallahu anha, to lose her child, he was amongst those people whom Rasulullah said in the time of Fatah of Makkah, that you find these following people, even if they're holding the ghilaf of the Kaaba, you must kill them. Habbar ibn Aswad suddenly covers himself, comes to Rasulullah sallam. Sahaba was seated there. And he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. He embraced Islam. Sahaba take out their swords. Some says, no. Too late. The man has embraced Islam. He becomes a believer. Rasulullah forgives him completely. And he becomes a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallam. My respected friends, the story of Hijrah has got so many other incidents, how Ummu Ayman Baraka radiallahu ta'ala, the one who looked after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, She was elder than him. You remember when Rasulullah went to Madinah Munawwara, was going with his mother, and as they were coming back, his mother Amina passed away. Ummu Iman Baraka radiallahu anhu looked after Rasulullah sallam, and she brought him back to Makkah. She was like his mother, and he would call her my ma, ya umma, ba'da ummi. And she makes hijrah. Ulama have written, all alone. She was fasting. She made this hijrat, walking, no camel, nothing. And for iftar, Allah sent down a bucket of water for her, and she drank that one sip of that water. She never became thirsty in her life. For you and I, we won't understand this. When the Sahaba made that hijrat, Allah gave them the strength. And Allah Ta'ala accepted the hijrat. And that is why we talked till the day of Qiyamah, Muhajirin and Ansar. And the Ansar was such that when Rasulullah made between them brotherhood, he says, one Muhajir, you'll be the brother of this Ansar now. The Ansar actually gave half the belongings to the Muhajirin. To such an extent, if Ansari brother, there are occasions and incidents where the Ansari had two wives. He tells the Muhajir brother, you pick which one you want from the two wives I have. I will divorce her. You can marry her. I'll keep the other one. To that extent, they even offered the Muhajirin the assistance. And Allah talks about the Muhajirin and Ansar and Hijrat in the Quran in several places. For us, right now, our hijrat is from sins, from disobedience, to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah to make amal. Wa afiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.